Judiciary Committee will now come to order. The time is now 1:04 p.m. on Wednesday, April 30th, 2025. We are meeting in the Groomberg Room, Capitol Room 120. The following members are present: Representative Mina, Representative Underwood, Representative Eichheit, Representative Vance, and myself, Representative Gray, Chair. Let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business. I would like to recognize the staff supporting this meeting: Sophia Tenney from House Records, Susan Quigley from the Juneau LIO, and my committee aide, Nate Graham. We have two items of business on today's agenda: House Bill 156, Disclosure of Wage Information, and House Bill 97, Wage Theft, Organized Crime, Human Trafficking. Our first item of business is to bring up House Bill 156, Disclosure of Wage Information, by Representative Genevieve Mina. Would the sponsor, seeing that there were no amendments, I would now like to offer the sponsor the opportunity to make final comments. We were joined by Representative Kopp at 1:05 p.m.
Can we go at it? At ease.
At ease. Back on the record, we will be holding public testimony, but before we do that, we will have the sponsor just remind us of the bill and tell us a little bit, remind us what House Bill 156 is.
Thank you, Chair Gray and members of the House Judiciary Committee. For the record, I'm Genevieve Mina, House District 19 representative for the Anchorage neighborhoods of Airport Heights, Mountain View, and Russian Jack. As a reminder, House Bill 156 is requiring wage disclosure, and the bill aims to do two different things. It first aims to promote more efficiencies in our tight labor market by requiring the transparency of wages or salaries in job postings, and additionally prohibits employers to ask about a potential applicant's salary history. The other aspect of this bill is to also address issues related to wage discrimination and wage gaps by enshrining in state law the existing federal law for employees to be able to talk about wages and within a workplace.
Thank you, Chair Representative Mina. We will now open for public testimony. Public testimony for House Bill 156 is now open. Is there anyone in the room that would care to testify on House Bill 156? Seeing no one in the room, we'll go online. Is there anyone online? Seeing no one online, we will now close public testimony. However, folks can feel free to email their testimony to house.judiciary@akleg.gov. Are there any final comments or questions from the committee regarding House Bill 156? Sure.
Thank you, Chair Gray. I had a good conversation with Representative Mina yesterday and talked through some of my understanding of the bill to make sure I had it correct. And I, as this bill progresses, I would like to see it be a little more clear that a potential employer is allowed to discern if their offer of employment is competitive or not with the applicant without running afoul of saying, so did your last job pay you $12 an hour? I can see that that's going too far. But I also would like to be able to, employers to be able to understand if they're in the ballpark of their wage scale to be competitive for the employee they're trying to bring on board.
Thank you, Vice Chair Kopp. Any other questions or comments about House Bill 156? Oh, Representative Mina.
Through the chair to Representative Kopp, thank you for the comment related to the employer's ability to help negotiate a salary when they're in the hiring process. I believe we have Ledge Legal online, and we could also pose that question to them for their interpretation of the bill. Of the scenario of an employer asking a potential applicant, is this job a competitive offer? Would that be a violation of the page 1, lines 11 through, oh, excuse me, lines 14 through page 2, line 1, about an employee, about an employer asking an applicant about their compensation in previous employment or from another employer.
At ease.
Really not.
Back on the record, for the public, we were trying to get Ledge Legal online. We're hoping that we still might be able to do that. If we do, then we'll direct a question to them. But for the time being, we'll move on. Are there any other questions, comments about House Bill 156? Seeing none, can we have a motion?
Mr. Chairman, I move that House Bill 156, Work Order 34/LS0752/A-alpha, move from committee with attached fiscal notes.
Seeing no objection, House Bill 156, Work Order 34-LS0752/alpha, moves from committee with attached fiscal notes. I will call on Addies to sign the paperwork. On the record, our next item of business is to bring up House Bill 97, Retail Theft, Wage Theft. Our first action will be to adopt a new working draft of House Bill 97. Do we have a motion?
I am sorry, Mr. Chairman. I do.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, I move that we adopt House Bill 97, Work Order 34-LS0109/0 Oscar, as the committee working document.
I will object for the purpose of discussion and would now like to call my staff, Nate Graham, to walk us through the changes.
Good afternoon, Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Nate Graham, staff to Representative Gray. So I want to just go through real quick the explanation of changes here. Section 1, Section 2, and Section 3 is from these changes were sent into the chair's office. It's from House Bill 68 from the 33rd legislature. These sections create different classifications for human trafficking and increase the severity of the crime from a Class A to an unclassified felony, and then also create various different classifications of human trafficking. Sections 5 and Section 6 are conforming. Section 7, there's a little bit of a typo on the summary of changes, but Section 7 was Section 2 of the prior version of this bill, which defines the crime of organized theft. Under the original version, someone could be charged with organized theft if they committed second or third degree theft while coordinating with a group of three or more people, and the crime was done for the benefit. That language created a few concerns, which we had as an amendment. First, it would have made it possible to charge someone with a Class A felony, which is a very serious charge for something as low for something like a low-level theft in the third degree, just because they were with other people. The second, the original version required prosecutors to prove that the theft was done to benefit or support the group, which could be hard to prove and might make the prosecutions more difficult. This updated section, we worked with the Department of Law, says a person commits organized theft if they act with a group of two or more people and commit two or more thefts under Alaska's theft statute. And it also raises the bar by setting clear criteria that the theft must involve 750 or more in stolen property or services, or involve specific types of high-risk theft, such as firearms, explosives, items taken directly from a people, safety and survival gear of an airplane is kind of their standard language. So this section was cleaned up by an amendment that we offered after working with the Department of Law. Sections 8 through 14 are no additional changes. Section 15 and Section 16 also come from the Department of Law about how we regarding how we calculate the total value of stolen goods over time or the aggregate value. Previously, the bill allowed prosecutors to add up multiple thefts over a one-year period to reach felony thresholds. Which made sense, but under current law, specifically AS 1147-980E, only allows this kind of aggregation over a 180-day period. That created a conflict. If the case were to go to court, a judge might decide that the existing 180-day rule still applies, which could weaken the case or lower their charges. The Department of Law flagged this and recommended a fix. Sections 15 and 16 make it clear that when adding up thefts, they can come from more than one person, not just a single victim. And it says that 180-day time limit only applies when the thefts are from individuals and not from businesses. So for commercial theft, like repeated shoplifting from a store, prosecutors can still use the one-year timeline provided in this bill that allows the law to target organized retail theft effectively without running into conflicts with existing statutes. Section 17 through 19 were no additional changes. Section 24 updated the restitution statute to require the court to order the defendant to pay back all unpaid wages or compensation. This is consistent with how restitution works, and it's meant to restore the victim to the position they would have been if the crime had not recurred. However, the second half of the section from the previous bill was not what is considered restitution. So the way that this section was written, the new way it's written, there's a section for restitution and then a section for civil damages. And then going on from there, the rest of the statutes are just conforming or are not changed throughout the rest of the bill. And then Department of Law is also in the room to answer any questions regarding the sections that we changed on their behalf.
Thank you. Do we have any questions about the changes? Seeing no questions, I will remove my objection to adopting the new CS. Are there any additional objections? Hearing no objection, the committee has adopted House Bill 97 Work Order 34-LS0109/O as an Oscar as the committee working document. I would like to open up the room for questions regarding the new version of the bill. Any questions or comments? Yes. At ease. We are going to call Department of Law to come up and speak a little bit about the new sections of the bill. So I would invite Deputy Attorney General John Skidmore.
Good afternoon. For the record, John Skidmore, Deputy Attorney General for the Criminal Division of the Alaska Department of Law. What questions may I answer for you?
Thank you. Representative Vance.
Thank you. It's good to see you again, Deputy Likewise. Attorney General Skidmore. I apologize. I think it's just such a mouthful. We
yes.
want to give you the honor of your title every time. But
not necessary, but thank you.
Thank you for being here. So we have elements of – we have human trafficking in here, and there are members who don't have the same experience in mm-hmm. committee about human trafficking. Would you describe what human trafficking per this law is and how we came to the conclusions for these particular penalties? Because it has been developed over a lot of years.
Sure.
And I want to make sure that everyone has a full understanding of what it is that we're dealing with, what it's not.
Through the chair to Representative Vance, the human trafficking changes were made last year. I believe it was on the floor. I can't remember if it was House or Senate, but there was changes that were made during a floor session, making some changes both for human trafficking and sex trafficking. Specifically in human trafficking, it was adding a list of conduct that qualified as human trafficking, the sorts of things as taking someone's identification documents, threatening them with deportation or other types of actions if they don't provide labor in ways that they wouldn't have otherwise wanted to do so. One of the challenges between human and sex trafficking is if you look at the bill itself in Section 1 for on line 9, where it talks about compelling or inducing to cause another person to engage in sexual conduct, adult entertainment, or labor in the state by force, threat of force against any person. Within that, the words compels is taken out and causes is put in. That's done both because the laws for human trafficking in the second degree use the terms induce or cause as opposed to compel. Induce or cause is also the language that was used and adopted last year for sex trafficking. So it's really a conforming amendment. There was an extensive discussion in this very committee last year about the difference between compel versus cause, and so that was a change that was made. This is a conforming change to mirror those things up. The second aspect that I would draw people's attention to is try to differentiate between human trafficking versus sex trafficking. Human trafficking being where there was some sort of labor as opposed to some sort of sex act. In current law, as you see here, sexual conduct is listed. Sexual conduct is defined as Alaska statute as touching of genitals or female breast or the anus. Engaging in that conduct would, in fact, qualify as a sexual assault or potentially as sex trafficking. And we didn't want there to be confusion between sex trafficking and human trafficking. So we've eliminated sexual conduct from the human trafficking statute to make sure that it was clear to just be about labor and not about sex crimes. The sex crimes are covered in other statutes. The adult entertainment was also defined in Title 23, but in this bill you actually have a definition for adult entertainment. And that adult entertainment is defined as causing someone to remove their clothing as opposed to engaging in a particular sex act. So those are the sorts of changes that were made as it relates to Section 1. The other thing that I would note is that it removed deception from the conduct so that the highest level classification, the unclassified felony, is about the use of force or somebody being underage, not about deception. Deception or other things are then found in human trafficking in the second degree, and that classification was also adjusted. Human trafficking in the third degree does not currently exist in statutes. I'm now on Section 4, which is page 2 of the bill. And human trafficking in the third degree is really all about when someone is assisting, if you will, in the human trafficking by providing services, resources, or other assistance, and then it was differentiated in terms of the level of the crime based on the amount of money that was provided, and that amount of money was based upon how much does it cost really to get a plane ticket from one hub city in Alaska to another. So it's about, is the assistance or the resources, is it about doing it in the community in which the person originated, or is the amount of money or assistance the sort of thing where you're moving somebody from one community to another, thus isolating them or removing them from their support network and systems? So that's how that amount was come up with. And then you have the forfeiture provision in there. Excuse me, and the forfeiture provision was just about ensuring that prosecution can forfeit property that was used to institute aid or facilitate in the offense itself, or that was derived from the offense itself. So that's a quick explanation of those things. If there are other questions, I'm happy to go into further details, but that's a little bit more explanation of it.
Representative Vance.
Follow up on, so just for clarification for the public and other members, is that we only have one area of human trafficking currently in law. This adds the different, this committee substitute would add the different degrees of human trafficking. Would you describe why it's important to have the different degrees of trafficking, especially in light of this bill when we're talking about wage theft, and the testimony that was given based upon what they believe that they saw could be human trafficking? Why is it important to have the different degrees of human trafficking in law?
Through the chair, Representative Vance, law currently has two levels of human trafficking, the first and the second degree. This bill would add a third degree. The differences in the different levels, the first degree is designed to go after the most egregious conduct, that is when someone's being caused to engage in that conduct through the use of force or the threat of force. It's also done when the human trafficking is targeted to someone that is underage. In this particular case, it's somebody under the age of 21. Human trafficking in the second degree is then really designed to go after the conduct where the person is causing them or inducing them to engage in that conduct themselves. And then the third degree is not about the person that was doing the inducing or causing themselves, but is really about those individuals that are assisting by providing other resources, services in support of that human trafficking. And so those different levels, those different degrees really help us look at the wide scope or span of the conduct that occurs, and to ensure that there are different levels of offenses for the different degrees of culpability, if you will. The person that's engaging in force should be treated more harshly than the person that's just inducing or causing through other, still illegal means, but not through force. And the individuals that are aiding or assisting but aren't themselves the ones engaging in the inducing or causing should also be treated differently than the individual that's actually inducing or causing themselves. So that's why you have those different degrees. And that those degrees mirror the same degrees and the same logic or the same framework that's used for sex trafficking that's currently in law.
Thank you. Representative Mina.
Thank you, Chair Gray. Through the chair, thank you for the explanation. That's really helpful just for me to understand this part of this committee substitute. And so by creating the third degree for human trafficking, so right now in the status quo, are people who are aiding and abetting human trafficking, are they violating a crime? Could you charge them with something else?
Through the chair to Representative Mina, we would have to evaluate whether or not we thought that person was acting as an accomplice to the actual trafficking, and that's a more complex analysis that we would have to perform. There are instances in which I believe there are individuals that could be rendering services or assistance that's not necessarily an accomplice, and therefore the third degree really allows us to have that greater flexibility in terms of how we approach those cases, and the person that's really providing a lower level support, if you will, on principle and accomplice, they would be charged with that higher crime. By having this lower level crime, it would be my opinion that having that lower level crime helps us more appropriately address people that are less culpable or engaged in the less serious conduct at a lower level.
Thank you.
Of course.
Any other questions? I'll just remind everybody briefly that, and we do have staff for the sponsor of the bill. This bill was Zach Field's organized crime bill. Mm-hmm. We incorporated the governor's bill with mail theft and theft of medical records and organized crime. We incorporated aspects of that. We then added the crime of wage theft, and then it made sense to add human trafficking. So I'm just kind of giving folks just the overview of the evolution of the bill and all the components of the bill now. But that's the bill. And I would allow staff for Representative Fields, if they want to make any comments or not concluding comments about the bill. Thank you, Deputy Attorney General.
Thanks, Chair Gray. For the record, Evan Anderson, staff to Representative Fields. Rep Fields is down the hall, so if there are questions, he's available to come by and answer questions from the committee. But I know Rep Fields has really appreciated the discussion in this committee. I don't know what count hearing number this is, but I think it's six or seven by now. And I think he's appreciated the changes and the amendments, and he's looking forward to further progress on the bill. So thanks to the committee for your consideration.
Thank you. Representative Vance?
Thank you. My question is based on prior conversations with Representative Fields, but I just want to allow you to put on the record. Is it safe to assume that Representative Fields supports the changes by adding elements of human trafficking in this bill?
Thanks. Through the chair to Representative Vance, it's my understanding he is in support of those changes.
Thank you. And just, I want everyone to be comfortable with that this is an issue that Rep Fields has expressed to me that he cares deeply about, and he has tried to get elements of human trafficking, you know, with labor in a lot of the bills that have been moving along as well. So this is something that aligns with his priorities, and I really appreciate the flexibility on this, that we can get this moving again.
Thank you, Representative Vance. And I would say for me, human trafficking, labor trafficking, I mean, it is the most extreme form of wage theft. So I think it, you know, we're just taking it all the way and putting it all into statute. At ease. Can we just do a motion now? What are we doing? Back on the record, I'll just make a couple of comments. Obviously, the part that I feel that my office was most involved in was adding the crime of wage theft. Wage theft is one of the most common and least prosecuted crimes in Alaska. It happens in every region, in every industry, and almost always without consequences. When an employer deliberately refuses to pay wages that a worker has earned, whether it's unpaid overtime, off-the-books hours, or misclassification, that is theft. And it should be treated like it. And I am very grateful to Representative Vance for bringing forward the human trafficking aspects. And I would welcome a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I move that House Bill 97, Work Order 34-LS0109/OOSCAR, moves from committee with attached FISCO notes.
There's been an objection. Would you like to speak to your objection?
Yes, please. Thank you. I just want to object because I want to thank the people who called in and testified on the wage theft portion, because they gave a lot of insight that we hadn't heard in this committee before. I mean, when people tell what they believe that they are seeing out in the workplace, that compels us to take action. We've been trying to address this in different ways for several years. But when you have employers saying, please do something, it really empowers us to be able to just grab it and roll with it. And, to the people who called in and testified, please continue to talk to us to help solve a lot of these problems. We want to bring justice to people. And like, Mr. Chairman said, that wage theft is human trafficking is the highest form of wage theft, and it is modern day slavery. And it breaks my heart to hear that this is happening right here in Alaska. And it's 2025, and we haven't yet provided the law that can bring justice to these people. So this is one of the pieces of legislation that I hope is able to make it across the finish line. And I really appreciate just the work that you have done, Mr. Chairman, and you know, for Representative Fields, a sponsor, being so amiable to all of the many renditions of this. It's a culmination of work that's happened over a lot of years. And, you know, this is one of those things that I think that we can get wrap around in a bipartisan way and really help people. So I wanted to say thank you for that, but to the people who called in, because that, to me, helped steer us in the right direction, I think. So with that, I remove my objection.
Thank you. Seeing no objection, House Bill 97, Work Order 34-LS0109/O moves from committee with attached fiscal notes. I authorize legal services to make any technical and conforming changes. That concludes today's business before the committee. Before we adjourn, here's a preview of our next meetings. There will not be a meeting on Friday. On Monday, House Joint Resolution 10 by Representative Shragi. And then next Wednesday, we will have a hearing on the legal implications of prosecuting American nationals in Alaska's elections. And next Friday, we will have bills previously heard. The time is now 1:39 p.m., and this hearing of the House Judiciary Committee is adjourned.